Greetings. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Steve Dace Show right here live and on demand on Blaze TV radio and podcast. I am Steve Dace. He is Todd Erzin. He is Aaron McIntyre. And we are brought to you by our good friends over at First Cup Coffee Company. They are the Patriot-owned coffee company with a flavor for every freedom-loving American. And if you would like to try them, I am not a coffee drinker, but Aaron, you are, and you were impressed when you have sampled them in the past.
Always.
Always.
Yep.
There you go. That you don't get an always from Aaron very often, at least not a positive one. So you just got one.
Definitely not positive.
Yeah, definitely not very many positive ones. But you got a positive one here. And so you can go by his word as well as mine when you go to firstcup.com. Use the promo code DACE to get 10% off at firstcup.com. Promo code DACE. If you subscribe, you'll get an additional 10% off for the life of your order. Firstcup.com. Promo code DACE. It is Wednesday. You know the drill. We will have the prophet of woe and lamentation. Who I'm going to tell you right now, we all need accountability in our lives. And Daniel has, well, he needed to be checked. I went on his podcast last week. I checked him. I just checked him again on Twitter. All right. He's still holding out hope here that the people are not the problem. And they are. So him and I will continue that conversation coming up in the final segment of the show. Also, I don't know what happened. I didn't pay attention. I'm completely out. You know, I told you guys last week I'm broken. I've tapped out. I'm going back to my prime directive, and we'll just let the events that I have absolutely no control over whatsoever in this. I mean, I'm told there's an election happening. I'm not really, you know, you can't really tell based on the behavior of many people that are supposedly involved in it on a daily basis. But Daniel paid attention to some primary results last night, and he thinks there's some things we need to know about them. So he'll share that with us coming up in the final segment of the show. We will, of course, begin playing Buy, Sell, or Hold at the bottom of the hour. But before we get to all of those things, let us begin with Aaron's rundown of what happened while we were away.
What happened while we were away? Brought to you by a Trust the Experts update. The pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca has pulled its COVID-19 jab from the market, citing low demand. Here's how it's being spun in the media at places like CNN. AstraZeneca is withholding its highly successful coronavirus vaccine, citing the availability of a plethora of new shots that has led to a decline in demand. A few paragraphs later, however, you're of course reminded it wasn't such a great success as it's being spun. Quote, in April 2021, information on the vaccine was updated by medicine regulators in the EU and the United Kingdom to include a mention of a dangerous blood clotting condition as possible, though a rare side effect. UK regulators said at the time that healthy adults under the age of 30 should be offered other vaccines, as for them, the risks of the AstraZeneca jab were greater than the risks of severe illness from COVID-19. Those risks didn't stop public health officials and public officials from running cover for the now defunct COVID jab. Public officials like former Australia Victoria Premier Dan Andrews.
2.6 million doses of AstraZeneca have been administered in our state over the last few months. This is a choice that literally millions of Victorians are making. It is a safe vaccine. It is an effective vaccine. It is the vaccine that is available now. And that means, for the vast majority of people, it is the best vaccine right now.
Yeah, that was in September of 2021, nearly 6 months after the UK and EU's warnings about AstraZeneca. Dan Andrews wasn't alone. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also ran cover for it.
Experts and scientists have spent an awful lot of time making sure that every vaccine approved in Canada is both safe and effective. Therefore, the best vaccine for you to take is the very first one that is offered to you.
More recently, some clips have been circulating of a months-old podcast of former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo inviting a guest by the name of Leanna Wen, former Planned Parenthood CEO turned public health oracle, where the latter attempts to cover her and the medical establishment's butts.
And I actually think this is one where the public health and scientific community has a lot to blame, because at some point they began, essentially people got the message that if you care about public health health at all, or your fellow citizens, you have to be masking. You have to believe in masks and vaccines. And if you are not doing these things or are even questioning whether we should have mandates, then you are somehow anti-science or anti-public health. There were topics that we now know are actually, they're not controversial, but they're more debatable, as in we should have a robust scientific conversation around them. For example, natural immunity, which actually is a thing. But for a long time, it was taboo to bring it up for fear that you might be called an anti-vaxxer. And so I think that public trust has been eroded, yes, by people who are perpetuating misinformation and disinformation. But I think that the people in the scientific community who did not do a very good job of separating fact from opinion also helped to erode that trust.
People in the scientific community like whom, Dr. Wen?
The vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing.
We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated. That you have the option to not get vaccinated if you want, but then you can't go out in public.
Moving on, federal judge Aileen Cannon has indefinitely postponed the classified documents trial of Donald Trump, citing a bevy of pre-trial business and proceedings which has yet to be ironed out. Trump, at least on that case, can probably breathe a sigh of relief for now. Checking in on Donald Trump, who posted this on Truth Social this morning, quote, "The new FBI building should be built in Washington, D.C., not Maryland, and be the centerpiece of my plan to totally renovate and rebuild our capital city into the most beautiful and safest anywhere in the world. The FBI must be in walking distance to the DOJ building, in that the DOJ and FBI have to work closely together to entrap me." He didn't actually say that, but you get the gist. Sorry, Steve, we've got another Kristi Noem clip. Here she is on Fox Business with Stuart Varney yesterday.
Still think that you are in line to be Trump's vice president?
No, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this.
He's
the only person who will decide. And I spoke, yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations
with
President Trump.
Did the dog story come up in your conversation with
Trump? I talk to President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt. Witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up the dog?
Yes, enough, Stuart.
With Trump. Did you
this
bring
interview
up the dog
is
with
ridiculous,
Trump?
What you were doing right now.
I don't
so you need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is.
We'll
Let's
stop.
Talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, well, of course we are.
We do thank you for being with us.
Right.
I know I pressed hard. But that's what people are talking about.
Now. Word on the street is Kristi Noem proceeded to attempt to bite Stuart Varney during the commercial break, and the South Dakota governor's whereabouts are currently unknown. The Boy Scouts of America has changed its name. They now wish to be referred to as the non-binary, two-spirit, scout-fluid beings of America. The move to the new name comes at a time when the Texas-based organization is coming out of bankruptcy amid a bevy of sexual abuse-related lawsuits, and comes at a time when the organization is attempting to come across as more inclusive. In recent years, the organization has made waves by allowing homos to lead troops and has recruited girls to join the ranks of the organization formerly known as Boy Scouts of America. And now, sadly, we go to the artist formerly known as Ellen Page, who does not look like she's having a great time transitioning, on her thoughts about whether the rainbow community is, quote, niche.
It's often called, like, niche. You know, queer things, niche.
30% of young people identify as LGBTQ+. So I'm like, I'm sorry, this is not niche. You tell really specific stories about, like, cishet people. I'm not calling that odd plot niche. Thank you.
Iowa and Missouri are the latest states to join Arkansas and the Dakotas in a Title IX lawsuit against the Biden administration, by my understanding, separate from what Florida and Texas are doing. They're challenging the administration's attempts to undermine girls' spaces and girls' sports by rewriting Title IX. That's good news. And finally, a day in the life of a megachurch consultant.
Where the HE double hockey sticks is the greeter team? No, because there's first-time guests walking in these doors ungreeted. Do you think Brian Houston built Hillsong Church without a greeter team? Get some interns out there with lanyards or something. I mean, it's no surprise you guys only have 2,000 members. This LED wall isn't even half the size of what we need. I mean, who approved this? Stephen Furtick has an LED wall twice this size with half of your budget. I mean, our original vision was the Las Vegas Sphere. We had that meeting. What is this? There's no spirit of excellence here. This is your green room. This is your green room. You're serious right now. Okay, this is your snack spread. Tim Tebow pulls up. He's going to tear through that in about 20 seconds. I need you guys to get it together. This is the kingdom of God. Okay, run to Costco. Send somebody to Costco. Take my card. There, bring me back some Red Bulls while you're at it. What do you mean the escalator isn't working? It's just not working. Okay, you know what? It's fine. Yeah, you know what? They're going to have to be replaced anyway. Two isn't enough. You're going to need at least 16. This is your worship set list? You have How He Loves on your worship set list. What is this? 2006?
And that's what happened while we were away.
Is that even parody? I mean, I keep asking that because I don't know nowadays. I don't know what's parody and satire and not and what's not. Because that looked real to me. Was that parody, Aaron?
Indeed. Indeed it was. I mean, no, but that video was.
Okay. Aaron's Montage brought to you by our friends over at Birch Gold. Can your savings weather yet another economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. And then think about the fact inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like it did in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt like ours can fall like a house of cards. There are few physical assets that you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. To learn more, text Steve to 989-898. Claim your free info kit on gold today. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call Birch Gold. Text Steve to 989-898. Secure your savings today by texting Steve to 989-898. The top two items, really the top three items in Aaron's Montage. I want to literally see everybody in those videos just put on trial for their lives. Everybody. First of all, is it a good idea to turn a woman whose highest professional accomplishment was overseeing one of the worst serial killers in human history and turning her into a public health expert? Thoughts?
That's why she was turned into a public health expert.
That is a post-Christian era. That's a pagan country. This is what John Daniel Davidson from The Federalist was talking about on our show a few weeks ago about his new book. What's it called again? Is it Pagan America or something like that? And I mean, what he said is exactly what you see in those first few clips.
And then
that when America turns its backs on God, it'll just become evil. I'm sorry, Aaron, go ahead.
I stepped on you. Consider the fact that the woman you're describing is also showing more contrition than 99.99999% of other public health oracles. Now, it's false contrition, but consider that. Just throwing that out there.
We have Chris Cuomo now claiming that he's jab injured, that he's been diagnosed with long COVID, and so he's taking ivermectin, and that clinicians told him that this would be an effective treatment for COVID.
This is what we were talking about yesterday during the second hour when with the pregnant woman, and we sociopath or not, and our conclusion at the end is, well, she can be that way that brazenly because our culture is just filled with sociopaths. Evidence throughout that montage, these are all sociopaths.
And they should just all be put on trial for their lives.
I mean,
all of them. They get a trial. They get a fair trial. They get legal representation. But everybody in the video clips, Trudeau, all of them, every one of them ought to be put on trial for their lives. And that's just the starter list. I mean, the list is very long and distinguished of exactly who should be put on trial for their lives. And if we were anything remotely close to the people we were once founded to be, this would have occurred.
You know why Andrew Cuomo is out there saying, oh, all of these measures, all these mandates, they were all voluntary anyway. You know why Leanna Wen is out there saying, well, public health officials have as much blame on their hands in, you know, decimating health and public, decimating trust in public health as anybody. And she's been saying that for a while. You know why Chris Cuomo is taking ivermectin and claims he's jab injured? Because they're not afraid of. They're not afraid of that.
Right.
They can gaslight you because the people have spoken and said, no, we're not going to hold you accountable. So that's why we're getting any of this whatsoever from these people. Any amount, false or otherwise, contrition. That's why we're getting it.
The most important thing for us, the three of us, to remind ourselves and our audience is our umbrage 4 years into this continues to be almost useless because we see, again, evidence over and over again. But we need to think through it the prism of what Aaron's talking about. What are they pivoting towards now? Why this? Why now? Because there was enough evidence to do this kind of contrition last year, the year before.
This entire time, one of the best points that Daniel and I make in Rise of the Fourth Reich is that you can tell that this wasn't, hey, we were blindsided and went too far by the fact at no point while this was going on did they express any notion that, hey, we were blindsided and went too far. Everything that was rolled back was forced on them to be rolled back. They didn't do anything on their own. They showed no contrition on their own. They never said, you know what, on second thought, let's maybe not give that shot to pregnant women. Let's maybe not give that shot to little kids, okay? I mean, there's a meme going around right now that I just saw 5 minutes before we went on the air, and the meme is, don't give your six-month-old honey. Okay, don't pour honey on your finger and let your six-month-old suck on your finger, but do inject your six-month-old with an mRNA toxin. Do that. Do that, though. Okay? I mean, they never once. Obvious data, they never once, not one time, anywhere, voluntarily rolled this stuff back. They never did. It had to be forced on them every step of the way. And that's how you know that this wasn't accidental. It wasn't a noble lie. It wasn't some overzealous plan against us, against a, you know, a novel virus of unknown origin. No, it was a plan being executed. That's how you know that.
But then as now, no one, if you go out into public night now at the sideline, at the ball game or wherever you go, no one's going to know about this. They're going to know about what happened at the Met Gala or some other dumbassery, but they're not going to
know. They might have thoughts on
this.
A new FBI building. I'm sorry, Todd, finish. Go ahead. You finish your
point. People don't want. We're not citizens anymore. You can actually poison people. They don't care. They don't want to know.
We're only maybe a generation, maybe two away from something like this happening, and we'd have to have the tribunals to avoid vigilante justice. Like, we'd have to have the tribunals to avoid posses, mobs. Well, I mean, the system would have to have tribunals to avoid this kind of, you know, reaction from people.
Funny you say that pessimistically. I look optimistically, and how about tomorrow?
But now we're at a point where everyone has been rewarded for this. Everyone has been. No one has faced any form of backlash for this. I had a conversation. I had a conversation with my about a book project that I'm getting ready to start working on for next year with my literary agent yesterday. And he brought this up. He said, you know, I hear you say that no one has been held accountable for this. You're wrong. One person was. Everybody won re-election after what they did to the American people, except for Donald Trump. He's the one person that got held to some form of accountability. Everybody else just completely walked away. And, you know, he's when you look at the 2020 and 2022 election results, that's very true. Okay.
Well, he became like the biblical scapegoat. for all of this. It just got put all entirely on him. And some of it he brought on himself.
No question.
But it, yeah, it's all displaced psychological and emotional energy for certain.
I'm not letting it go. And y'all just need to know that. I mean, it may be we're the last place left, not in a camp, that still talks about this and brings this stuff up on a major platform. That's not the case, blessedly, but if that even were to be the case, we would be proud for that to be so. We are never letting this go. Never. Until there is justice. And if the only justice is what happens in the next life, then we are taking this and never letting it go until we go on to the next life. We are never, ever letting this go. Ask yourselves, these people don't care about repentance, as Aaron pointed out. They don't think they need absolution. No one is after them. There's no point to any jail time confessions. There's no point to any jailhouse apologies. No one's being pressured or apologized or having any form of law enforcement come after them. No one is in any form of crosshairs for what they've done to anybody, right?
Right.
So then you need to ask yourself, if you think this was bad, are we ready for Vanta Black? Let's roll it out. These are people who are unrepentant. Unrepentant spiritually, unrepentant morally. So why now? Why take the AstraZeneca? Why take it off the market now? Why is Leanna Wynn and Chris Cuomo now? Why? Ask yourself what you are being prepared for next. What are you being prepared for next? So that they can say, hey, we went overboard last time. And we owned that. We own that. We admitted it. But this time you have to listen to us. This time you've got to do this all, you've got to do this and all over again, and maybe worse. And just like, and people like us, when they do this, they're going to. When they do this, people like us are going to play all the clips of them admitting they went too far, abandoned the scientific method and everything else, and they're going to ignore us doing that and gaslight us, just like they ignore it when we play all the clips of what they were saying before. There's a clear agenda here. This isn't about remorse or repentance. There's no fruit on those trees whatsoever. This is a gaslighting. We're being conditioned so that we owned it. But now you have to listen to us. Now you need to do what we said. Thoughts on that?
You're of course right, which is why I think the only thing I disagree with you, anything you've said, is about one or two generations. Right now. What, are we really going to get more ripe for the pickings? This is what we underestimate how lost we are right now. We're totally gone. What are we tethered to? We don't have a generation or two.
No, I meant we were a generation or two away from, if there weren't tribunals,
no,
posses would have formed. That's what I meant.
I
was looking in the rear, looking ahead.
I thought you were looking ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about in the
bringing
rear.
The optimism.
Yeah, no, a generation or two ago, I should say. A generation or two ago, there would have had to have been tribunals to avoid street justice, to avoid mobs, to avoid anarchy. They would have had to do it to actually keep the rest of the population in line.
That's why I know we're gone. No one cares. You can do anything to people as long as they have their bread and circuses, and we all know it.
I think that's very apparent. It's very apparent that, you know, one of the clips of the COVID era that haunts me the most actually wasn't specifically about the COVID era. It was an interview that Warren Buffett gave. Do you guys remember this interview? With his top business partner, who I think passed away last year.
Yep.
And And they both said that they wish we had a system more like China.
Yeah, I do.
Okay?
Yep.
They'd be more efficient, fewer people making decisions, okay? And the reason why, here's why that clip haunts me. What the Shycoms figured out after Tiananmen Square, they figured out we won't face any more Tiananmen Squares. We won't face any potential backlash from the West. In fact, by the end of the decade, and the decade of the 90s began with Tiananmen Square, where it started right at, actually it was 89. So it started right after Tiananmen Square. We head into the 90s, Tiananmen Square. Within a decade, the Brits are handing Hong Kong back over to the Shycoms. That would have been unthinkable while Tiananmen Square was happening. What changed? You said it. The Shycoms cracked the code of human nature. They figured out if they give us just enough modernity, just enough bread and circus, just enough comfort, just enough technology, so that we're not in the 7th century all the time. We're not old major working the animal farm until we're just put out to pasture and of no use to anybody. They figured out that if it's not just the pigs living in the house, but all the animals are allowed in, then all the animals will say nothing when the pigs take all the best things for themselves in the house. They'll take the best rooms. They'll take the penthouse suite. They'll take the master bed. They'll take the, they'll take the hot tub. You see what I'm saying? But if you've got, you know, a man cave, if you've got a TV, you know, you're good. They figured that out. They figured out that if they gave the people enough, so they had the accoutrements or the trappings or the furnishings of freedom, they'd never actually fight and push back for the real thing. They figured that out. That people will rebel against slavery. They won't rebel against indentured servitude. They figured that out. And that's how they've cracked the code. And it seems, and I go back to that Warren Buffett clip, and it seems as if the Western elites have figured this out too. It seems they've figured it out as well. That if you can call it, as Todd does, bread and circus, you can use the descriptions I used just a minute ago. We're really talking about all the same things. That if there is a perception, and I love your analogy of cipher, if there is a perception of comfort, people will, we'll go even further. We won't just become ciphers. We'll actually turn on the Neos. We'll turn on the Neos.
For sure.
Okay. Well, we'll say, how dare you call us to something more? How dare you call us to something better? You know, like people who had become accustomed to slavery in a place called Egypt. They get delivered and they get let out. They're on their way to a land of milk and honey. And literally the next day they begin bitching and moaning and griping, we were better off being slaves. At least why? And but here's the thing. When you read that account in the scriptures, what do they say indicates they'd be better off as slaves? Do you guys remember what it is they said? At least we had meat to eat. At least we had some form, which, you know, meat was not taken for granted in ancient times. So, you know, at least we had something that, you know, filled our bellies and made us feel like, you know, we were worth something. At least we had something. At least we had something.
At least we have a church right now that's equipped to handle all this, Steve, and deal with it, right?
Yeah, we do. We don't.
We don't.
We don't. We don't have that. No, we have the parody at the end of that montage with the megachurch consultant that I'm just telling
Correct.
You is not a parody, guys. It's not. I wish it were. It's not. More in a moment. Well, if you see what is happening right now in Israel, Israel really has two enemies right now. One, a threat to its national sovereignty, as many of you know. But the other, you may not know, is Israel, in many respects, culturally, is even further gone to the spirit of the age than America is. And that's what Voice of Judah wants to do something about. It aims to inspire evangelism, discipleship, and church planting in the land of Israel. Voice of Judah uses humanitarian outreach to support Israelis. They don't just want to stop with materially blessing the people of Israel, but they want to give them the greatest blessing of them all, and that is the gospel. This is a messianic ministry focused in the heartland of Israel. If you want to help them to reach the Holy Land with the Messiah and the Word, the fields are ripe for harvest there. We can seize this moment. One benefit of the country becoming so secular is they're finding, particularly among the young people, more openness to the gospel. All right. So we can help a Voice of Judah with exactly that. Learn more about their inspiring work with Israel to give them the greatest blessing of them all, their Messiah. You can go to VOJ for Voice of Judah, VOJIsrael.org/Steve. VOJIsrael.org/Steve. Again, VOJIsrael.org/Steve. And with that, let us get to buy, sell, or hold. You guys know the drill. You have given in the or submitted the submissions. Aaron, you have determined which ones that we will consider. Todd, you and I are going to determine whether we're going to buy it, whether we're going to sell it. We typically give you the option of a hold, but you don't really have it. I mean, it's kind of dangled out there for you to basically reveal yourself to be a complete and total punk. And if for any reason you hold, then Todd, you will be subjected to watching 100 hours on loop of Lindsey Graham getting to the bottom of it with Sean Hannity on Fox News until you break. I'm talking Clockwork Orange, eyes taped open, until you break.
Sean Hannity's still around, is he?
He is.
Okay. Well, the line has been drawn.
All right, Aaron, go ahead.
All right, the first four are somewhat related, so let's do this somewhat rapid fire. Matt in Iowa says, if the polls continue to be close, that's on me. I'll put an IOU in the poll jar. Biden will have a health scare before the August convention and will have a different nominee emerge from the convention. Consequently, by the end of September, Trump will be down double digits in all Rust Belt swing states.
So. They can just steal it.
Yeah. Why risk putting somebody else in there that they have to create an entirely new narrative with, that there's new things you don't know about them, right? You know that Joe Biden lies about the death of his son, Beau. You know that he lies about his grandpa being eaten by cannibals. You know that he plagiarizes. You know all these things, right? Yeah. So that's a sunk cost now. You put somebody new up there at this point, and these things all become new. They all become scandals again. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So now you don't have to do that. You know, and they can just, I believe the proper terminology here, Todd, is fortify it. They can just fortify it. Yeah.
Well, either, and they would love, I know on our end, we think, I mean, remember back when Trump beat Hillary and the Schadenfreude and all that. So they love that too.
Dude, they're like, dude, Trump won the four decisive states by less than 78,000 votes. Huh. We're going to win the four decisive states by less than 40,000 votes. And it's all going to be on paper handed in at 3 a.m. in seven or eight counties that we completely control in the dead of night. Yes.
You think they're scared of a close election? Oh. After last time? No.
I agree. I'm going to sell. I agree.
Next,
I think you'll have to die.
Bruce Jenner's uterus says Biden's October surprise is the decriminalization of marijuana. Trump's October surprise is an OnlyFans page.
Sure. Bye. Featuring Christy Noem.
Daniel sent me a story last night. It was Butt Daddy doing an interview where she says that Ivanka is saying that she could possibly be talked back into having another role in Daddy's White House if he were to win. And I responded back to Daniel, do you come on. What is happening here to our friendship? What is happening to you? Okay? When did you become the New Testament guy and I am the Old Testament guy? All right? What is happening? These are famous people. The idea that they're all just going to they're going to get access to the largest spotlight on planet Earth and they're going to say, "I'm good." No, this was are you surprised to hear this news?
No.
By Labor Day, Jared Kushner will give an interview. Well, you know, if it looks like, you know, I'd be happy to serve if indeed, you know, Pops decides that, you know, we could make sweet music again together, I'd be happy to serve. I mean, I'm no Jared Kushner guy. At least he helped negotiate the Abrahamic Accords. Ivanka does nothing other than butt daddy, her daddy to the left on virtually every issue. And convinced Mike Lee, of all people. Remember when Mike Lee partnered with her for a new entitlement program? Remember that? I don't even remember what it was. Was it, you know, I don't know. Was it free diapers for kids or something? Yeah, it was something. I don't remember what it was. But you remember that? Mike Lee and Ivanka with their new entitlement program. You guys remember that? These people were never going to stay away. Yes, they're going to get access to the biggest spotlight on planet Earth. They're going to let Dad. They're going to go out there and watch Dad take all the slings and arrows, do all the trials, do all the heavy lifting, right? Okay? And then Dad wins. The idea that they were not going to come back in and say, "Hey, Pops, we got you."
Yeah, they're just above it. They're above this now, Steve.
Come on, man.
We're all James Franco. First time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right? On this, though, I'm... As much as I think it's hilarious,
say it
as in a Vanta Black kind of way, and we all took hemlock at the end kind of way, I'm gonna sell. I could see half of that being true, but Trump is not gonna do an OnlyFans page. I could see him buy OnlyFans. I could see that. I could see Trump buying OnlyFans. That I could see. Even if you point a gun at me, I'm still gonna sell. Okay.
Speaking of Christy Noem, snarky tea smuggler says Noem still has a chance at VP because Trump subconsciously loves to humiliate his base and knows they'll still support him and make excuses for her.
I love this take, but I don't agree.
Yeah, so
I'm going to sell. This is where Daniel again is the Daniel we've come to know and love, because this take he has is just right on the money. I mean, Daniel has pointed out to me also privately that, and actually I saw him actually post this publicly this morning, so it's out there now, but he's been telling me this privately for the last 2 weeks. He's like, this woman sold us out on private property rights.
Mm-hmm.
This woman sold us out on trannies.
Yep.
Okay. And it's not, and she did this in a state where there's literally like six Democrats in the legislature, some incredibly low number. It's not the policy stuff that ended her career. It's the showmanship stuff. It's the fact that she on a showmanship level is an embarrassment. And that just absolutely speaks to the era that we are in. And he's correct. And that's also why there's no chance Trump's resurrecting that. None. She on a showmanship part, she embarrassed herself and continues to embarrass herself. And that's absolutely not going to happen. Not. I mean, look at, now I don't have a clue how valid these names are, all right? But if you look at the list, because I'm not in that inner circle at all, I know people in the inner circle, I don't care. I'm out. I'll go vote on election day, man. You do you. I'm just going to do the biblical worldview show. But since this came up, I'll address it, all right? Look at the names that are supposedly on Trump's list. Tulsi Gabbard, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Doug Burgum, right? Am I missing anybody? Those are the four that I've... Oh, Tim Scott and Ben Carson, okay? So those are the six names I've heard the most. You can tune in. I see these channels. The only time I see them is when I'm at the gym lifting 3 days a week. And so the same panel of six names is running on MSNBC and is running on Fox News. And apparently Trump is even doing some interviews of people now in Florida, although I believe J.D. Vance just told Glenn Beck yesterday no one from the Trump campaign has reached out to him. Okay. But since he's been mentioned prevalently in cable news, let's go ahead and include him. All six of these names are people who are some form of charismatic, like a Marco Rubio, would you say J.D. Vance can be charismatic at times?
Not really,
no? Would you say so, Todd?
By Republican standards, okay. Sure.
But all six of them also? No drama, man. No drama. No drama. No silliness. No drama there. There is only room for one drama queen on the Trump team. And that is the role that Trump has reserved for himself. The rest of these six guys are just not very dramatic. Ben Carson has an incredible biography. And I will just tell you, even as someone who admires him, I spent 2 hours with him, my wife and I, him and at a lunch, went on, just the three of us, at Johnny's Italian Steakhouse here in Des Moines. I'm just going to tell you, if you didn't know who the guy was and what he stood for, what his life was about, you'd have been asleep 15 minutes in, okay? And you saw Sleepy Ben in every one of those 2016 debates, at least the ones he showed up for. Doug Burgum, are you kidding me? None of them are... Tulsi Gabbard even has charisma, no drama. No drama. Look at her answers are all very tight, very disciplined. No drama. We used to have Tim Scott drama, then he went out and got a beard. All right, next submission, Aaron.
One more in the vein of the last three. Cricket had it coming. Says, if Trump, that's Kristi Noem's dog, by the way, Cricket. If Trump wants to win and actually be able to govern after he wins, he should select General Flynn as his VP.
This would go against what I just said. Way too much drama there. What was done to that man is criminal. That's without question. It also is somewhat in question whether he lied. He still got fired from the Trump administration for lying to the vice president of the United States. Now, whether that occurred or not, and I can think of of all the people I'd probably be okay with you lying to, Mike Pence would be high on the list.
Not necessarily a deal breaker.
But he did still get fired for that. Okay. And so what was done to him from the feds is a different situation than what led to him being fired, in my view. And so this all would get drummed up again if you pick him, right? Here's the thing. One of the reasons why you're not allowed to be the person with all the drama around Trump, it takes the spotlight off of Trump. Make Marco Rubio your VP. There's a day of headlines. Everybody moves on. Make Doug Burgum your VP. There's a day of headlines. Everybody moves on. Okay. If you make Tulsi Gabbard your VP, maybe there's a couple days of headlines because she used to be a Democrat. But by and large, everybody else moves on. Make J.D. Vance your VP, day of headlines, everybody moves on. Make Tim Scott your VP, day of headlines, and then other than this show and The Advocate, no one else is probably talking about it a day after. Fair? All right. Both of us in search of his beard. So, again, none of these are picks that take any of the attention off of Donald Trump. General Flynn risks that on a couple fronts. One, because the questions about his past and what happened and why he was fired the first time all get drudged up again. And number two, frankly, he's better on, I think he's actually a more compelling messenger for Trump's agenda than he is. Not allowed to be that.
All right, next, we're going to have some conversational whiplash. Jackson Pickett Burnside says, of the four major U.S. professional sports teams or team sports, the least difficult to most difficult championships to win in order are this. The least hard to win NBA championship. Next hardest, Major League Baseball World Series. Next hardest, the Super Bowl out of the NFL. And the hardest to win is the NHL Stanley Cup. Buy, sell, or hold that spectrum.
So I have to sell.
I disagree with the whole premise. They're all very hard.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm. I mean, yeah. I don't know that I would think any of them are easy. And I might actually strangely be okay with the NHL being number one. just because of the randomness of the puck and what it does on the ice. But I also think if I'm going to base it on that, then Major League Baseball should be higher because there's a ton of randomness there too. I mean, we just had a World Series last year with two fringe playoff teams and the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. That was the World Series. You know, so these weren't 100-win teams. How many times in baseball do we see how many times? It happens often. The team that had the best regular season record does not win the World Series. Happens a lot. You know, I mean, it's very random as a sport. If you've got a couple of hot pitchers in the month of October, and even if you're only scoring 2-3 runs a game, hello, Kansas City Royals, 2015, you can win a World Series doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, then you have the physical toll of the NFL. Then you have the game toll of the NBA. So, you know, there's a tournament to get in some spots. Then you have 7 games every single round. The randomness of you know, the officiating in any particular game. Then the idea that you may have to beat in any particular round an all-time great player, a LeBron James, a Michael Jordan, a Magic Johnson, a Larry Bird, a Tim Duncan, you know, I mean, I don't think any of them are easy. I'm with you. So,
if you're thinking about this too deeply, though, you should ask yourself, am I watching too much sports?
Do you think his feet are set?
Who can tell?
Next up, we go to Troy Vandermolen. The natural next step is a reformed charismatic spin-off denomination.
I love this. Bye.
It's very natural, yeah.
But yeah, I would absolutely buy that.
This has been the tale as old as time. Whatever grievances I can agree with the Protestant Reformation for having a bone to pick, I mean, this started to happen immediately.
When I see someone reciting the tulip in tongues, then I'll think we have a chance. Right. Then we're back. Yes, we're back. Yes, I love that take. That's great.
Next up, we go to Caravan DLM. Top 10 fight walkout songs for different politicians. Number 10, Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's John Fetterman's walkout song.
Nice.
Money for Nothing by Dire Straits for Volodymyr Zelensky.
That's perfect.
And we will continue this list after the break.
Is it better? Is the list better than that? Because Money for Nothing and Your Chicks for Free by Zelensky, man, is cash money, homie. Cash money. We'll come back. More Buy, Sell, or Hold is next. We're back here with Hour 2, live and on demand on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. Steve Dace here with Todd Erzin and Aaron McIntyre. And you can let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. Steve@SteveDace.com is the email address. That's DEACE. Like us on Facebook, MeWe, and Gab. You can follow me at Steve Dace Show on Twitter, Gitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And if you listen to the podcast, if you wouldn't mind, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Thank you for doing that. Thank you as well for hitting subscribe or follow. And that way, every time we do a new show, it will show up in your feed every single time. This part of the show brought to you by our friends over at My Patriot Supply. But were you listening last hour as we were surmising, why are some of these people coming forward now to admit, well, maybe we're wrong about a few things during COVID? Why? Nobody's after them. These aren't people that have shown an eagerness to have repentant hearts in their pasts here. It's because we think they're preparing us for the next thing. And they can say, hey, listen to us this time. We told you we were on it. We finally came clean. You were right. We went too far last time, but we're definitely not going too far now. Yeah, don't. Be ready. Be ready for the next emergency that comes without warning. Make sure your supplies are within reach, ready to grab and go at a moment's notice. Secure those supplies at my website, preparewithdace.com. Start with the 4-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. They've been helping millions of American families prepare since 2008. They are the experts in self-reliance. Get their 4-week emergency food kits that have over 2,000 calories a day, 16 types of meals and sides to mix and match, breakfast, lunch, dinner, even drinks and snacks included, so you know You have the peace of mind for that next emergency that you are prepared. And if you go to preparewithdace.com to get prepared, you'll get these food kits today as your family needs them for just $50 off. You can't beat that. $50 off. The offer, though, expires this week. Don't get caught unprepared. They also ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at preparewithdace.com. $50 off per kit at preparewithdace.com. All right, let's continue on with buy, sell, or hold.
So we left off halfway through, or not even halfway through, this list from Caravan DLM. Top 10 fight walkout songs for different politicians. We had number 10, Simple Man, Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's John Fetterman's song.
Yeah.
Number 9, Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. That's Volodymyr Zelensky's walkout song.
That's a great call.
Number 8, Breaking the Law, Judas Priest. That is Bob Menendez's.
That's good. Bye.
The beleaguered Bob Menendez's walkout song. Number 7 is Riding Dirty. For Greg Abbott, that's a little mean.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sell on that. That's way over the top.
Todd, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But number,
what respect exactly? That I don't. I'll buy.
Number 6, Street Fighting Man by the Rolling Stones. That's Mark Molan. Who is that?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Number 5, another Brink in the Wall, or Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2 by Ryan Walters.
I got to say, I can do a lot better than that. We probably, looking at the list, we should have stopped at 9.
No, you're actually just objectively wrong about that. The top 4 are very good. Number
All right,
4,
let's find out.
Land of Confusion for Joe Biden.
All right, that's good.
Number 3, Seek and Destroy by Ron DeSantis. That's Metallica.
Okay.
Number 2, Who Let the Dogs Out for Kristi Noem. That's her walkout song.
Okay, all right, that's...
And number 1, It's Raining Men. That's Lindsey Graham's walkout song.
Mea culpa. You're right. Particularly the top
you
two.
You threw a haymaker in the at the beginning. It was a little weird towards the middle.
It would have been better off as a top 5 list.
Yeah.
Like most double albums should just be single albums. This top 10 list was good. It would have been next level as a top 5 list. But the top 2 are well done. Yes.
Next up, we go to Marshawn Lynch... Libertarian, who says buy, sell, or hold should be mandatory 2 segments instead of listening to Steve bloviate for an hour on the first 3 words of Ezekiel 28:9.
I'm going to sell because that's just not the only scripture I will bloviate on for an hour. So, I mean, you've underestimated me. I'm going to sell.
Doesn't even have to be scripture, really. I mean,
No. I mean, I'm a professional bloviator. It's literally what I do. Yes.
Next, we go to Holy Smoke, top 5 most exciting types of sports moments. We had something similar last week. Maybe we're going to put a finer point on it this week. Holy Smoke has the top 5 most exciting types of sports moments. Todd, are you ready?
Set your feet. They better be set.
Number 5 most exciting moments in sports. A 4th and goal to go on the goal line.
I got
to
tell you, sitting there at the Rose Bowl in January, 4th and goal to go. Well, it was the 3-yard line, so close enough. With the national championship on the line in overtime, man, I will never forget it. I mean, getting to share that with my wife and my son, too, that was just an incredible experience. I'll buy. Yeah.
I'll wait till the end of the list.
So you're holding. Number 4, playoff hockey overtime goal.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final in overtime. Any bounce, any random, particularly those games in the playoffs or in May, June, you're in your 4th period, there's condensation on the ice, even the Zamboni is no match, so the ice is rougher, chippier, the puck is more random. Yeah, that's a great call. I'll buy.
Number 3, a baseball walk-off home run. Meh. If it's in late May, early June, who cares?
Yeah, if it's April 29th, no. If it's September 29th, yes. So I guess I wouldn't put it higher than the previous two, though.
Number 2, a basketball buzzer beater.
Again, is it an NBA game on October 24th, or is it, you know, the decisive game of the Western Conference Finals? You know, I think those two are conditional. Meaning circumstantial, I should say.
And number 1, a boxing or mixed martial arts knockout.
Not my thing. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm against it. I just don't have time to for another sport. I've got too many other things going on, so I don't follow either one. So
I'm selling overall. This is just a superfluous list. I mean, we know this stuff is exciting.
I think I'm going to sell overall too, because there's no way that any walk-off home run is more exciting than a Stanley Cup final in overtime. It's just not.
I think we've beat the exciting sports moments horse. So anybody wanting to put out a list in the future, I'm probably going to ignore it. Matt's collection, top 10 anything, just anything. Number 10, lightsaber duels.
Hate all of you so much. Just with a deep...
Thanks for listening, by the way.
Abiding.
I'm a bye. I am a bye. Yes.
Number 9, Indiana Jones shooting the swordsman in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
One of my all-time favorite movie scenes. I mean, the guy's just losing it, doing this massive display, and Indy just takes out the gun and shoots him. You know the backstory of that scene?
I just saw something about it today.
Yeah, I've heard this before, and it got reset today, but he was supposed to sword fight him in the script. And Harrison Ford had eaten something that disagreed with him, you know, and I think, you know, maybe needed a potty break. And so he's like, why don't I just pull out a gun here and just shoot him and let's just move on, you know? And Spielberg was like, that is a great idea. So that's what they did. Yeah, they changed it right there on the set.
Number 8, driving a Jeep off-road with the top off on a nice day.
No, that's not a top 10 anything to me. Also.
Sure, sounds fun.
Number 7, Blazing Saddles.
Sell.
The movie?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a top 10 anything.
No, it's not. It's okay.
Yeah. Number 6, Main Street in Disneyland.
You're a grown man. You can't.
There is something about doing that with your girls walking when they're little and the looks on their faces. There is something about that. So if we're doing it in that context, you know, particularly if we're talking pre-2021, I'll buy. Yeah. There's something about doing that with your kids for the first time. For sure.
I have very deep concerns that this has nothing to do with a dad walking his children.
Well, that may be true, but I'm going to apply it to that context. Yes.
Number 5, Carolina barbecue. Bye.
Yes. Vinegar barbecue is the best barbecue.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. I'll defer to you guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 4, Mom's chocolate chip cookies.
Again, you can't. No.
My mom was a great cook. That's not one of her specialties, though. So I'm going to sell.
Number 3, bacon.
That's a top 10 on every list.
Sure.
Agreed. Bye.
Yep. I cured and smoked my own bacon while I was off. It was very good.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Number 2, the Giants winning Super Bowl 42. Todd, your thoughts again?
No. No. No legitimate top 10 for a male over the age of 25 should have this in their top 10.
You need to get back on your mic. Sorry. Number 1, the opening theme of Star Wars. Maybe you should stay off mic for this, actually.
See, I was on mic. I was just dead inside, Aaron.
Oh, bye. I mean, I don't think it's number 1, you know, but...
Our jokes.
There are a few things as a kid...
Our comforts are killing us.
There are a few things as a kid...
It's not as a kid anymore. That's the problem. Serious. Adults. Well, adults!
He didn't give me a context, so I'm going to go with
adults.
That. Okay? I'm going with my context. He didn't give me a specific context. I mean, there's a few things as a kid sitting in those theaters for the first time. And that music and that 20th Century Fox fanfare comes on.
And then,
I mean, I can remember little Stevie, man, Christmas 1978 at the River Hills Theater.
Kill the past, Steve.
And the little girl comes on at the beginning of Richard Donner's Superman, and she's reading Superman 1 Action Comics, and it's in black and white with the Daily Planet, globe, and it becomes color, and the John Williams score kicks in, and the logo blazes across the screen. I can remember that like it was yesterday, and I was 8 years old, and I can remember that like it was yesterday.
Let the past
or five
die,
years
Steve.
Old, I should say.
Let the past die, Steve.
Now you're so desperate now, you're now quoting a movie you hate, affirmatively.
Desperate?
I thought you were, we gotta go back, guy. See, I'm totally sold on, we gotta go back. I'm with you on that. We gotta go back. I don't want the past die. I want to go back.
Not to being 8.
I'm Eddie Money. I want to go back.
Not to being 8.
Well, I was actually five, but anyway. All right, go ahead.
Fossil Fools is next. The term girl dad is a sign of the ultra-feminization of America. No man would ever call himself a boy dad. This is because of me again. I used the term in the announcement post for Abigail.
Oh, is it?
I'm a girl dad.
So this isn't random?
No.
I'm going to sell... there's nothing wrong whatsoever. Of course, a father would not use that with a boy.
He should be different.
The boy should be raised. I was just going to say that should be raised differently. The relationship should be different because they're not the same. So I will sell.
Yeah, I'll sell. I mean, I'm only a girl dad, and it means specific things. It would be different if I had four sons.
And frankly, about the least feminized thing you can do nowadays is to actually pronounce and admit that someone is a real girl. So I'm going to sell there, just on those grounds.
That may be the most important point right there.
Yep.
Anyone else smell sulfur says before Election Day, Todd will have swapped out his daily shot of apple cider vinegar for water imported from Camp Lejeune.
Dude, that's going down before Memorial Day. As icy as it may seem to you listening... through your speaker or watching on the other side of your screen in the studio here, it's frosty. Okay. I mean, it's Todd's demeanor the stare is even more blank when you're here in person right now. Yeah.
True.
Next, Joe says, there are no Soros-esque donors on the right because there's no return on investment. The left gets results, so Soros-esque donors on the left, they see that as a good investment.
So he means not in terms
Sugar
of
Daddy.
Money,
yeah.
But agenda. Because mm-hmm. there are Soros-level donors on the right. They're just all to the left of you. And they give all kinds of money to move everybody to the left. So are we really talking about someone who's a hardened ideologue that would use that money to push the party further, actually, in a more radicalized area? Is that what he means then?
I think
because
so.
Because there are Soros donors on the right in terms of capacity. There are not Soros donors on the right in terms of agenda. That's what's missing. And that's a big difference. That's a big difference.
Could you count on one hand... those driven ideologically, Soros-esque donors on the right driven ideologically or agenda-driven?
Oh, absolutely.
One hand.
Yeah, yeah, you could, for sure. Yeah. And that's the number one reason the party has moved left. And the biggest Soros donor of them all is Fox News. It's just their in-kind contributions. And everything they do is to move the party left. Fox News, just in the last week, platformed the anti-Semitism bill and platformed Albert Bourla. Okay. They're the biggest Soros donor on the right. It's just all in-kind contributions that you get the ability to be platformed on the largest, most consequential platform by far. I mean, it's not even close. In exchange for being a figment of our Overton window. That's not any different than a major donor given, you know, John Boehner, Paul Ryan, Mike Johnson, you know, $50 million in a super PAC, you know, to do the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just one's an in-kind contribution. That's all.
There's another aspect of this that's absolutely going to make a lot of people's heads explode, but it's true. If you have true conservatism, which we almost don't anymore, but there is such a thing as too much money in true conservatism. The whole thing, a lot of people,
oh yeah,
it's just too much money.
Money and consumption is not a conservative virtue.
Real true conservative says, yeah, I think that's about enough.
Yep. Yeah, consumption's not for the sake of consumption, production for the sake of production. That's materialism.
Economics used to be moral philosophy. Again, yeah, I know. Perfect. Aaron giggles.
The guy with the two youngest children in the room is laughing at this. Yes.
Translation of the Greek, economia, the household. Now we just think, hey, make as much. There's no such thing as too much. The excuse, there's just too much money. Got to do it. Got to do whatever the money. People say it all the time, and they really believe it, and that's their church, but that's not conservative.
Before we move on with buy, sell, or hold, if you have decided I've got to move for whatever reason, make sure you do not walk into the Let's Go Brandon real estate market without an agent that you can trust to guide you through that process. And they're not everywhere, but one place where they are is at realestateagentsitrust.com. The name basically says it all. And a lot of times these agents that we'll hook you up with are from right here in the Blaze audience. So you guys have that in common from a value system standpoint. They're going to be the top sellers in your area or the area that you want to move to. They know all the ins and outs and best practices to get you to where you want to go. Ultimately, that whether that's across town or across the country, we've got the agent for you where the name says it all. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is where you want to go. That's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
All right, next we will move on to this from Sheepdog. Top five songs about Christy Noem by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Number five, Unfortunate Dog.
Nice.
Number four, Have You Ever Seen the DMZ?
Oh, God.
Number three, Who Will Stop These Interviews?
No, that's good.
Number two, Proud Corey.
Oh no.
And
no,
number
that's
one,
wrong.
VP
that's wrong.
Never Comes.
That's
best list of the day.
That is the best list so far today. That's a good list. Bye.
Good job, Sheepdog. Drew Sifa says, Steve recusing himself on buy, sell, or hold, that would have been two Wednesdays ago, was a really fancy way of saying hold. Must now teach Lindsey Graham how to set his feet. It's not buy, sell, or recuse. There are no other options other than buy, sell, or hold, and he held.
I don't remember what
this was
about.
What in the world happened here, guys?
I don't remember what this was about, do you?
I have no recollection.
I don't have any recollection either, so I'm going to have to sell.
Weird.
Yeah, I have no recollection.
Jamie Coventry says,
works for others.
I'll bet Aaron $25 that none of my submissions make air. You owe me $25 now.
Indeed. Pizza night at the McIntyre household. Indeed, yes.
Snake Flag says, the Fox News alert ding, or that's really a dong, it's a bell. The Fox News alert is the single most overused sound effect in all of television history and likely will be in perpetuity throughout the universe. That's got to be an automatic buy. Because you can just hear this afternoon, who hosts the afternoon show? It used to be Shep somebody, but you can just hear, dung, we now know at this hour that Bruce Jenner has
found his uterus.
Cancer. Yes, exactly.
I'm hard sell on this. You're applying the wrong thinking on this. You got George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it. How can this be overused if it works so well on the intended audience?
There you go.
All the stuff Steve talks about Fox News, it's because it works. If 65-year-old guy runs in to get a sandwich and he hears the dong, he's running right back. What are they going to say? What do I need to know about the Orange Man?
Yes, that's exactly right. Wow. What a great take.
It's psychology.
I'm buying what he's
saying. It's Pavlov's
dog. I'm buying
what
he's saying, which means I'm selling on this take.
Pavlov's dog.
Yep, that's right on the money. That's, and by the way, Vanta Black, pour one out. 5,000 G.
Pour out some Camp Lejeune water right there.
I ain't scared.
Next up, Mount Rushmore of British rock singers. This is from Viral Architect, who better come correct here. Robert Plant, Freddie Mercury, David Bowie, and Elton John.
Well, that's pretty
hard to argue
strong,
with that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no Mick Jagger. There's no Roger Daltrey. Okay. But it's hard to argue with that list.
Sure.
I mean, there's nobody you would immediately say, "Are you're nuts for putting them on there?" So I'll buy. Yeah.
Yep.
Next, we go to James Haining. Last Wednesday, Steve said we need better fatherly role models. What he was really saying is that we need a dadala or a dadala instead of a mamala. We need a dadala.
No, he wasn't really saying that because I would have shot him if he did.
Yes, and I would have actually shot myself. I would have just taken off my earpiece, walked right over, and gone Hitler bunker on myself for saying that right around the same time he did that to himself, as a fact, matter of fact, right? Late April, early May. But no. But I will tell you, would it shock you if we had that kind of a clip?
No.
Of two males. So they're just penis-possessing humans.
Don't speak it into existence.
That are on some talk show, and that is actually said. We need you to be Dadala. Would that stun you?
No.
Here's the thing. Would it stun you if the next show Kamala Harris is on, someone says to her, we also need you to be Dadala?
No.
Says it to her too.
No.
Would it shock you if former California governor Willie Brown, or no, mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, right? He was never governor.
Yeah, something
right.
like that, okay. Yeah.
Would it shock you if Willie Brown said to Kamala Harris, who's your dadala? Would that shock you? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. We will go to this from Salty. Buy, sell, or hold. Aaron will finally start to back Donald Trump. Salty adds, I can even answer it. Sell, because he's a shill for the establishment and is getting paid to not support him. Steve, are you supposed to be paying me?
I am paying you.
Through the establishment?
Yes. Yeah, through the very well-known establishment connections that I have.
Yes.
You know, like Mike Johnson and Elaine Chao.
Man, I feel like I'm getting ripped off. I could
you know,
be getting
all the
paid.
People that Trump's aligned himself with, they're all paying me. Yes.
I promise you, Salty, you have spent more time thinking about whether or not the producer of a program that you probably don't even watch or listen to is supporting Donald Trump.
This segment brought to you by the shiny new FBI building Donald Trump wants to make and construct.
Our show may have the dumbest anonymous trolls in existence.
Co-signed.
I don't know. I mean,
They're in the game. They're in the discussion.
Okay.
They're ballers.
Yeah.
Evan is next. Pro-lifers need to fight to have real-life abortions shown in schools. I'm going to buy that.
I'll buy. Why not?
I'm not going to argue against it.
I mean, I wouldn't show it to like a five-year-old, you know, but someone who's in high school? Sure. I've got no problem. Hey, just want to make sure we all know what we're signing up here for. Why not?
But how you go about doing this. One of these college campuses recently, By the way,
this has got to make the weekend update at Media Matters, this part. Has got to be in. Abigail, Myrtle, whatever her name is, has got to be including it. Is it Ethel? I forget. Go ahead.
It's Thelma this week.
It's Thelma. Go ahead.
But one of the college campuses, somebody just paid the money, drove up with one of those screens or trucks, and just rolled tape of October 7th. And they couldn't do anything about it. They just had to, do it that way.
That's where you just look at it and you're like, go off, King.
Yeah.
When you see someone do something like that, you're just like, go off, King, right? Yeah, just, that's perfect. By the way, I saw this from, where is it? I gotta find it. Just a second. Oh, yeah, here it is. Megan Basham at the Daily Wire retweeted this from somebody today. Old man walked into the gym this morning at 5:15 and yelled out, bodily exercise profiteth little. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That's a boss move right there. I could see Todd just randomly walking in to Anytime Fitnesses all throughout the 515 area code and just screaming that out loud at random times.
Can you imagine what that guy would have said about that top 10 list that had chocolate chip cookies and Star Wars themes on it? Burnt it.
How about Sequence, Todd? Where are those on your top 10 list? Sequence?
Let's move on. Chris Bates says, Republicans having more babies will not result in more Republicans in the future. Their kids will see how most Republicans, like their parents, are grifters and will rebel.
There's something to this.
Daniel, again, I hate to pick on him again, but he was pointing out to me a study that Pew did that found Republican or conservative parents, it's 50-50 if their sons are conservative, and it's like 20-80 that their daughters are conservative.
This is something that parents don't actively think about, because there's a lot of people that they genuinely say they believe, and they say it consistently, that conservative things, but over time their kids are watching. They live there all the time with you, and you never do anything. You just say things. And that's what's at the heart of what Aaron just read to you. And sooner or later, a lot of those people do call BS on this thing because it's not inspiring. They see the real flesh and blood life. It's sedentary. It's unconvicted. It's soft. It's shallow. Saying it, there needs to be more than words.
Jethro, one Hawk fan, says if Trump goes to jail, he will win the election regardless of if he's convicted or not.
I don't think that has any.
Just also, goes to a jail.
Just, yeah, just so if he just, you know, randomly stops at one. I mean, how would he go to jail if he wasn't convicted?
How does the legal system work? I don't know.
Well,
apparently.
Neither does the legal system in defense of the questioner. But I don't think people care if Donald Trump kills somebody on Fifth Avenue, and I don't think they care if they kill Donald Trump on Fifth Avenue. I don't. I think people's opinions and everything on where he is concerned are made up. There is no galvanizing. I let him mask my kids and inject my infant with an mRNA, but by golly, Donald Trump going to prison is the last. No. Nobody cares. We've already cashed in on all of that. All those votes are already cashed in. The votes that we're talking about are the normies. They're the ones that are going to decide this thing, and they're not going to get awakened by some dastardly unfair act, which it is, being done to a guy that they don't like. That's not going to do it. That's not going to work. So you have to figure out other ways to get those people to vote for you, but that won't be it. He's not a rallyable figure. He is not.
Right.
He's a rallyable figure to the people who go to the rallies. But on a broader level, he is not a rallyable figure. He doesn't present himself as one, doesn't try to. These aren't judgments, they're observations. He's not a rallyable figure outside of those who go to the rallies. And to those folks, you know, they're as rallied as you're going to get. But yeah. The question is what would rally other people? And other people want elections to be about them, not candidates.
The best Trump can hope for on that front is people to get rallied away and just stay home from Biden. But no one's going to rally to Donald Trump.
Right. I absolutely think that is possible. I mean, did you guys see the filled my pants pose he had the other day? I mean, that's literally the pose that old people and toddlers make when they're filling a diaper. Okay. So do I think that it's possible to reverse rally people by showing enough of that? And they're like, regardless of whatever the hell I think about the douchebag from Mar-a-Lago, at least he's, you know, competent. I do think that's absolutely possible. I'd go with that. Trying to turn him in. Hey, because a lot of people are like, wait a minute. The dude paid hush money to a porn star and I'm supposed to care. I mean, they're just not. They don't care. So I try to reverse rally them on the stuff that you're talking about. Maybe get some of those normies to stay home. You know, that's a W. Because the normies haven't been voting for us recently. So if they're not voting, that's a win. Daniel Horowitz is next. Yesterday, we were honored to have with us for the first time on the show, noted historian, best-selling author Victor Davis Hanson was with us. And if you want more from him, you can also find him over at Imprimis from our friends at Hillsdale College. No cost or obligation. If you want to subscribe for free today, join over 6 million Americans that do so on a regular basis and find out about the challenges happening comprehensively to American excellence, our constitutional republic. It is the free digest of liberty that goes out to more than 6 million homes and businesses across the country. Smart constitutional commentary from the likes of Victor Davis Hanson, Christopher Rufo, and more. If you want to get that free, no obligation subscription, sign up today at daceforhillsdale.com. F-O-R. Daceforhillsdale.com is where to go. Again, that is daceforhillsdale.com. Joined now by the prophet of woe and lamentation, our friend and colleague, Daniel Horowitz. Good to see you, brother. How you been?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Steve. Maybe you ought to get that Hillsdale ad on Fox and Newsmax.
Yeah, I don't think Hillsdale could get through the Fox and Newsmax Overton window. Does it require more than three brain synapses? And is it something that Jesse Shallow Waters can digest? If the answer to those questions is yes, then no, you are verboten. And so that's why you got to come to our audience instead. Let's start with really quick, because I want to get into last night's primary results and what you saw, because I'm not even paying attention. So, and I think the audience should get at least some news from someone still doing caring. I'm not. But I want to start with your take on Kristi Noem. I alluded to this earlier on the show, but I don't think I did it justice. You made an interesting observation about what has caused her downfall as opposed to what should have. and what that kind of says about the current environment on the right. The floor is yours.
So, you know, a lot of our colleagues like to portray themselves as enlightened, you know, that they know what time it is, that they're not going to follow the same mistakes of, you know, the Republicans of yesteryear. And it's now become in vogue and cool and almost universal to use the terms Uniparty and Con Inc. and all this stuff, even though they're actually the new generation of it, doing the same thing for this generation, what the McConnells did last generation. So one of their things is, yeah, like, we know we're sick of these type of McConnell Republicans. Well, Kristi Noem, for those of us who actually are apprised of the who's who and what's what of politics, which you would kind of expect someone who does this full time and gets paid to do it, they would make it their business, right? You know, like the difference between a Ryan Cole doctor and a, you know, COVID fascist doctor, maybe. So you would kind of know the who's who. So we knew since 2011 Kristi Noem was a fraud. She was called a Tea Party candidate. This is a long time ago. I can't believe it. 13 years by now. And she was one of the Boehner bootlickers back then, would talk a good game, put on a good presentation, you know, the whole physical image thing, which certainly was better before the Bruce Jenner Fox News style came into vogue. And she was a big establishment person. I mean, like, everything you didn't like about Mitch McConnell, I don't think there's any way where they disagree on the core issues, like, you know, Ukraine, vaccines, whatever. And she just kept excelling and, you know, being elevated. And then she moved on, became governor. And to be clear, I knew who she was in 2020 for many years, but we're all about outcomes here. So despite that, and I knew she tried to shut down the state and was vetoed by the legislature, but I felt she was coming to our position. So we tried to make her a hero, because I'd rather get someone to our position than just say, oh, well, you're a fraud because you were bad on so many other issues. I mean, and I'm willing to do that with anyone. So I just want to make sure people aren't confused by that little era where we, you know, played ball with her in 2020. But she has screwed us on every policy. So the South Dakota legislature, if you've noticed, you don't hear much from them. You know, certain states are passing a lot of bills. You don't hear much. The only thing they do is, you know, give away our land rights to green energy pipelines. So I found it interesting that despite all of this, until a month ago, she was a member in good standing of MAGA. I mean, making the circuits and all the media like, yeah, we need to kick out these illegals, all the while ensuring that there's not a single piece of legislation in the legislature to actually do anything about it in South Dakota. And then she invites in refugees to the meatpacking plants and agribusinesses. So, you know, and then, I mean, her entire sphere of influence, her former chief of staff, her donors were literally the lawyers signing off on the eminent domain land grabs for the demonic green energy pipelines. But nothing deterred people. I mean, I supported her challenger, who was a former Speaker of the House. He got crushed like 3-1 in the primary, as always. And she's very popular. But we're all about style over substance. So we love the style. Steve, what is she faltering on now?
Style. Yeah.
So the style has gone down the drain. Yeah, she's, well, what's wrong? She sucks. But I mean, and look, I'll take wins where they come. So now we don't have to worry about her subversiveness being, you know, VP or some sort of leadership position in the party. But there's a lot of other people like that who aren't as tone deaf and won't make stylistic mistakes, but still anally rape us on substance. I'm sorry to use that, but that's just what's going on. And indeed, that's what's going on in every primary. And, you know, so it's all good.
Well, let's look at primary night last night in Indiana. I paid absolutely no attention to it. I'm completely out. I just don't care. I've moved on with the rest with my life. You're hanging on. All right. And I respect that out of you. Dig that. Okay, so you're tuned into what happened in Indiana last night. Indiana is so red, Bill Clinton couldn't win it against Bob Dole. Barack Obama couldn't win it against John McCain. Actually, no, he did win it against John McCain. He did win it in 2008. That's the only time I think a Republican has lost Indiana since like Reconstruction or something. So it's one of the reddest states in the union. What'd you see in their primaries last night? Any takeaways for November as well?
The same thing we're seeing in every state, and that will continue unless we change what we're doing, that basically status quo rules. I have never seen a political environment like this, where in the abstract, we are all about unanimously. The Republicans suck. The Uniparty, look at everything going on. And then when the ball is in play, not like a month later, 6 months later, you know, the typical political amnesia. I'm talking about the ball is in play while you're talking about it. I mean, there's a man open down the field. So if it's a certain grievance about the border, we have a budget fight. We have a must-pass reauthorization. We have, like, a legislative fight taking place right during then, and it's like they're raping us with Trump support right in front of our eyes, and it's just the two don't connect. So there's, like, a problem, but then the legislative stuff doesn't connect. So it's the same thing with the primaries. Yeah, you know, these Republicans suck. The Uniparty, I'm sick of the Mike Johnson. So then Mike Johnson goes along. His leadership fund endorses every piece of garbage. You have the Freedom Caucus guys, you know, try to endorse their guys. And what you're seeing every case and was reaffirmed last night in Indiana is that basically this. Basically, not a single one of their incumbents goes down. In almost all the new open seats, you might think, okay, it's hard to knock off an incumbent, but any retirement will pick up the seat. No, they get even worse people in newly right now. It's not like the old holdovers before we were enlightened and based and, you know what time it is. But you know, right now they initially – so it's like having Mitt Romney get elected initially right now.
And Mitt Romney wins like almost every primary now. That's why I just stopped paying attention.
Wins every primary, yeah. And it's not even close. Like, no, I'm talking about like overwhelming margins. And then the incumbent good guys or relatively good guys, they tend to hold on, but not as by as much of a margin as the bad guys hold on to their incumbent. So to go down real quickly, state legislature, the Senate pro temp is a bootlicker for the governor, who is such a liberal that for the first time in history, the Indiana Teachers Union didn't field a Democrat candidate because they said we had one. They literally said that. So Holcomb, they endorsed Holcomb. So the president pro temp, I forgot his name,
Mitt Romney
runs his agenda. Indiana is one of the three worst GOP supermajority states. They had two conservatives in the entire chamber, but 2 years ago they redistricted them out, so there's like zero. Not a single Republican state senator lost. Two did lose in the House, but, I mean, state House districts are tiny. We usually do at least knock off a few, so that's pretty dismal. 3 out of 19 I think we got. And then in Congress, so you had District 3, which was Jim Banks vacated to run for Senate. He'll become the next senator. So he's regarded as a MAGA hero. Now, I have my own views on him, but, you know, so it has a, you know, a precedent of having a right winger there. So you would think we'd walk in there. We got Marlon Stutzman, who was original Freedom Caucus guy. But, I mean, the guy freaking represented the district. And he's the conservative and had the Club for Growth and the Freedom Fund and all these people supporting him. And he won by like 1 point against the Rhino. So, okay, but at least we got that. District 4, Jim Baird, an 80-year-old Rhino that votes with leadership. Zero, nothing. This guy, Charles Bookwalter, I supported him. He lost by 35 points. Trump endorsed, of course, Baird. I guess maybe because they're the same age running for election. District 5. You actually had Victoria Spartz, who's kind of decent, not Freedom Caucus, but she voted against McCarthy, maybe a little bit adjacent. Bob Good endorsed her. She just about held on. She was almost knocked off, but held on. Incidentally, it's interesting. Trump endorsed the adjacent district Rhino as an incumbent, but we're told, oh, he just endorses incumbents, but didn't endorse Victoria Spartz. Kind of interesting. Seems like it's a one-way street. By the way, District 4 is an R+18 district, so we got the Johnson's guy back in there for another two years, unless he croaks in between. District 6 is Greg Pence. So we had Mike Pence's brother occupying like a bathroom stall in the R+19 district. And
I bet that's going well.
Yeah, I mean, the most liberal guy there, this Jefferson Shrevey, who ran such a horrible campaign that even with crime-ridden Indianapolis, he couldn't win mayorship over the Dem then, but he did run on gun control, but not when he's running in a Republican primary. Back then he did. So, you know, in other words, pro-gun control Republicans are to the left of leadership. This guy is going to be what's called a Tuesday group guy. That's like the Rhino Freedom Caucus. So he won a new seat. outspent his competitors 4-1. And then in District 8, another bad Republican retired Larry Bouchon open seat, R+15. And we have this Mesmer guy who is the front runner, again, supported by all of the Rhino organizations. So, yeah, we're going to and we're going to do it again. Next week is West Virginia. We'll have Jim Justice, who believes that Joe Biden is not pro-vaccine and pro-Ukraine enough. So he's going to get a free Senate seat.
Yeah, that's great. In a state where a Democrat hasn't even won a precinct in a presidential election in about 20 years. So that's cool. Yeah.
And Steve, the thing is, I'm watching very closely, and I don't know if you got a chance. I sent you because West Virginia is coming up. There's a House race against a Rhino, Carol Miller. This guy, Derek Evans, who spent time in prison as a J6 defendant. So you'd think Trump would kind of endorse him. I mean, I guess we should be happy he's just staying out of it. So that's something. But you would think that's the type of guy you would endorse. Carol Miller, the incumbent, is the biggest Rhino of all time. I mean, there's nothing there. For some reason, West Virginia, we don't just have fiscal liberal Republicans. They're socially liberal, too, which is odd. Like Shelley Moore Capito is pro-abortion, and now all of her relatives and, you know, her son's is running for governor. But anyway, you watch these ads, and I mean, they run on our positions, and they run that our guys are Democrats. I mean, this is what they do. And this has been my thesis. I don't know why I'm the only one in the country talking about this. If you wanted one thing, if you had to change one thing, that would be a force multiplier. It, you know, in lieu of a new party, but would essentially be a new party, is you change populist Democratic primaries to representative conventions. And you will beat them. You'll go from a 0% success rate to like a 70-80% success rate. We have proof of concept everywhere it's tried, but you know, most places it's not binding, so you could still have a primary, which they do. I don't know why we don't have a movement doing that. I just don't know, but until and unless we do, everything's a waste of time.
I've got 30 seconds. Anything in here for November that you saw, any trend line whatsoever that you think matters? In the general.
Look, I mean, we've been seeing every single primary, Nikki Haley is getting too many Republican votes. And there's all these excuses, but we're seeing it both in Indiana is open, but we saw it in Pennsylvania where it's closed. You know, it was still fresh February, March, this late in the game. Okay, for Nikki Haley to be getting 22%, but then in the suburbs of Indianapolis, and these are not the suburbs of, you know, Houston, Dallas. This is not a big city. It's big for Indiana, but if you're losing those suburbs, 35% going for Nikki Haley, I don't see how there's no there. I mean, it doesn't mean they're all going to stay home or vote for Biden. But remember, if you lose even a small percentage of that, given that there's more Dems than R's and you got to win Indies too, I don't see how you could win. But I guess it's just all a mirage.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Happy to deliver.
You always do. And we appreciate that. Brought to you by our friends at Patriot Mobile. For a decade, they've been on the cutting edge of helping to establish America's much-needed parallel economy. Thankfully, one place where it is much available is with a product we have to much use these days. That's our mobile phones. You can make the switch today to America's only American mobile phone service provider, and in doing so, you no longer have to pay directly to people who hate you. And then secondly, you also get outstanding service from Patriot Mobile with their incredible U.S.-based customer service team. You can't beat it. If you make the switch today, they'll customize the options for you as best they can. If you want to keep your phone, you can. If you want to upgrade your phone, you can. You want to keep your number, you can. You want to switch your number, you can. Make the switch today when you go to patriotmobile.com/Steve. If you're a veteran or first responder, let them know when you go to make the switch. They have extra ways to say thank you for your service. Everybody can get a free activation with the offer code Steve. Offer code Steve for a free activation at patriotmobile.com/Steve. Again, head over to patriotmobile.com/Steve. All right, gentlemen, final thoughts on today's show. We've got about a minute left.
So Nikki Haley in May is at least performing just as well against Donald Trump as Ron DeSantis in January.
Or as she did in January in New Hampshire, for example. But yeah.
Wow. What a party. Just learning no lessons. Just keeps racking up excellence. Amazing.
Aaron?
Were Todd's feet set there? I think they were pretty well set. People are the problem. The same thing, I mean, Daniel hit on this a little bit, but somebody came back at me the other day saying, I don't care about Nikki Haley's, I'm not Nikki Haley, Freudian slip, I don't care about Kristi Noem's dog. I think the real reason she should be buried is because of this, 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 and this. And I'm like, I completely agree. But the people and the people's media decided that wasn't good enough. And so now we're getting Nikki Haley, I'm sorry, I did it again, Kristi Noem's dog. The people are the problem.
We'll stick around and do overtime for the people who aren't the problem, the subscribers at Blaze TV. For the rest of you, see you tomorrow. Until then, Romans 8:28.